You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
And the show brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. Dr. Arthur Perry at 34 past the hour. Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week before the end of the show. It's time for What's Toxic and What's Not from Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Today's topics include ExxonMobil, rice, and arsenic in drinking water. With Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Dr. Mike, what do you like? What catches your eye with Dr. G's topics today?
Well, I like to hear about rice and how much lead there is and what we should do if we like rice, whether we should just give it up.
No, I'm not saying give it up, guys. Hey, I eat rice as well, and this story did disappoint me because I've been eating imported rice with the news that the domestic rice from the United States, as I've talked about on the show in the past, is shown to be relatively high in arsenic from the old days when we used to have cotton fields down south. Lead arsenate was used as a pesticide in the cotton fields. So now they've converted those fields to rice fields. And domestic rice from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, that southern belt, Arkansas, that rice is actually relatively high in arsenic. So I've been telling people to have either California rice or imported rice. Well, now this news story is saying that imported rice, a study by a university lab in the United States from New Jersey, is saying that imported rice that they just happened to sample for lead turns out to be very variable in lead content, but some of the numbers are alarmingly high, like 5 to 10 parts per million. Normally we talk about parts per billion, but this is quite substantial levels of lead. It appears to be coming from countries like Taiwan, China, India, where in some cases, get this, guys, I know that this has got a big ick factor. They may be flooding the rice paddies with sewage, like untreated sewage. So,
oh my God, you're kidding.
Yeah, my days of consuming imported rice may be numbered. I have to look at this a little more closely. But anyway, the lead levels were high enough that if a child was eating the rice a couple of meals a week, they would be getting substantial amounts of lead, enough to be increasing their blood lead levels, getting lead into the brain, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we in toxicology and public health really advocate for no extra lead. You know a source of lead, you get rid of it, because any amount of lead has the chance to deposit some of it into the brain.
So how do you make sure you're not getting lead or arsenic in your rice, Gary?
California rice. There are a couple of brands that are, I'm not going to go brand name here because I don't want to sound like I'm being paid to endorse anybody, but look at the label. And it will say grown in California versus imported from India versus grown in Texas. And look for the California brands. They are not known to have any arsenic, any lead. And fortunately, because it's in the United States, there are higher standards about what kind of rice paddy practices they do have.
What do you do if you're in a restaurant?
Well, you know, most of us aren't eating out all that often, and it is a matter of the dose and the frequency. So if you're eating out at Asian restaurants where they're serving rice, if you're eating out often, I would say you might want to have their noodles.
Okay. They probably wouldn't know where the rice comes from, would they?
No, they wouldn't. No,
they
wouldn't. They probably
are
getting it from whatever local market or whatever inexpensive source they get it from. Brown rice versus white rice is not a way to get less contaminant. As it turns out, the arsenic is actually higher in the brown rice. So, at a restaurant, I would say if you're eating at restaurants a lot, don't eat rice every time.
Good to know. Another story you want to talk about today that has to do with arsenic as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the next two stories are all about groundwater and drinking water. A lot of us drink from public supplies, which can come from groundwater wells, or if you're on your own private supply. And both stories have to do with contamination. One, natural contamination, that's arsenic from rock and minerals in the bedrock, and the other from ExxonMobil. So the first one, arsenic, and this is from my own home state of Connecticut, where now we have found an outbreak of arsenic in the well water in a town called Weston, Connecticut. But it's not unique to Weston. There's sporadic hot spots of arsenic around the Northeast, and unless you test your own private well for arsenic specifically, we also have a problem with uranium in the Northeast in water. If you don't test for arsenic and uranium, you're never going to know. It doesn't make the water taste bad. You're not going to glow in the dark from it. Your kidney isn't going to suddenly fall out of your body. So you're not going to know until maybe it's too late. Arsenic is a carcinogen. It could also increase blood pressure and heart disease. It could increase diabetes risk. So, and at levels now that, originally the studies in Bangladesh and in Chile where the levels were quite high, much higher than the U.S., we didn't have too much concern. Now some of the new epidemiology is down at some lower levels, still showing some suggestions. So we're not sure exactly how much is a concern, but, there is a safe drinking water standard of 10 micrograms per liter for arsenic. And if you test your well and you're above 10, you need to deal with that and treat the water. Unfortunately, there are treatments available. People on public supplies, whether it's from a big reservoir or whether it's coming from a groundwater well, that's tested, and we know that water is safe with respect to arsenic. But if you're on your own private system, it's up to you to test. And arsenic is certainly worth testing for. It's not an expensive test, and you could rest assured sleep well at night if your level's below 10.
All right. Story number 3 for today, it's ExxonMobil. Lost a court case. What happened?
Yeah. This is up in New Hampshire, but there have been court cases around the country related to the gasoline ingredient MTBE. And that may sound like a blast from the past, but MTBE was used to increase the efficiency of the burning of the fuel so there'd be less tailpipe pollution. It was good for air quality, but it was bad for groundwater quality. And what happened was gas pumps back in the 90s and 80s, they leaked. The tanks underneath the ground, they were leaky, and the new ones today leak much less. But the MTBE was in the gasoline with benzene and other nasties, and the MTBE was traveled further from the spill, and it would get into people's wells and contaminate almost the entire state, perhaps, or large regions would be contaminated by gasoline spills from leaking tanks, and the MTBE would get the furthest and be the worst contamination problem. So finally, states have been saying, we've been cleaning this up, or we've been left holding the bag for years. They're suing the companies, the fuel companies, the refineries, and the ExxonMobils of the world. ExxonMobil just got lost a case in New Hampshire for $273 million. That they're going to have to, unless if they lose their appeal, they will have to pay to help clean up New Hampshire groundwater and also test and put monitor filters on people's wells. They lost a $1.5 billion case in Maryland for the same kind of thing. They appealed that, and they won the appeal because basically they put MTBE into the gasoline. They could claim because they were told to do so by federal EPA. And EPA then backed out and said, no, MTBE is not such a good idea. So, I think the bottom line here is that when we try to improve our society by a new plasticizer, a new flame retardant, a new nonstick coating, some great new additive to gasoline, we really have to think more holistically about not only the good stuff that chemistry, is doing for us, but also what kind of contamination, toxicology, public health problems are going along with this innovation. And MTBE is one of those perfect examples of stumbling along in the dark.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. This is a terrific website. Next up, Straight Talk from the Docs, Dr. Arthur Perry and Dr. Mike Roizen. At 34 past the hour, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well. Thanks for listening.